Hey everyone, Adam Cheek back with you, host of FrontStretch.com Stock Cars Scoop. We have just witnessed a race at Homestead Miami Speedway, and we've got some stuff to talk about afterward. Nearly a 20th different winner this year, didn't quite get there. Kyle Larson getting the win right after he was eliminated a couple weeks ago at the Roval from the playoffs. And I am joined by Michael Finley to break this all down. Finley, welcome back to the Scoop, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Maybe not as good as Kyle Larson did today. We had a 60-point shutout, which means he won both stages, and he led 199 laps out of a 267 lap race. So it was very much the Kyle Larson show. He did have to fight for it at the very end, though, as you can go into.
Yeah, exactly. Mile and a half have been better overall this year. I think I talked about it in the pre-race scoop about something like Charlotte that provided one of the best 600s we've seen in a long time. I think you were on that with Mike Bachman and myself, that post-race stock car scoop. But this race ended up being kind of one note despite a lot of hype surrounding Homestead, its uniqueness, the fact that we hadn't been there in more than a year and a half, and the fact that we had a new car going there. And it ended up being pretty, just kind of happened. Larson was out front for a while, and then it seemed like it was Truex's race to lose. And then Larson ended up back out front after a pit road incident that we'll get into a little bit later on. But why do you think the track didn't deliver as much as we thought it would?
Well, I mean, this car has kind of been like opposite day, right? Well, we've gone to race tracks like Martinsville in the spring and probably Martinsville next week, or places like Richmond, where like, we're expecting it to be a good race, and then it's just kind of not that interesting. I mean, you could at least, I think this race would have been, it's one of those races where, regardless of the format, I think the problem was just that Kyle Larson was too good today. Because you could go up there and make passes, especially in second and third. Well, and the other thing is too, like, on the opposite end of the spectrum, like you mentioned, Solit traditionally has not been a good race in many years. And then we go to the 600 and it's amazing. This new car, this was the 34th race of the season, and we still haven't like figured out exactly how the car works, which is just crazy to me.
Well, and one of the things that went on today that was particularly chaotic was Martin Truex Jr. seemed on track to be the 20th different winner this year, and instead he gets spun on pit road, and he said it was a combination after the race. He said it was a combination of Larson getting into him and also not being able to see through the windshield with the sun and the way Homestead is positioned and all that. As we've seen in recent championship races there where these guys, you know, hit one side of the track and the sun's right in their face. But he said it was a kind of a combination of that and contact from Kyle Larson. What's your perspective on that incident? Was it just did Truex start overshooting and then try to overcorrect and ended up getting spun around? Was it more on Larson? What's your take on it?
I think it was a racing incident, but I do think both of them should have been penalized for it, even if it was incidental in Larson's case. I just think that the reality is we need to be very careful when it comes to situations like this on pit road. It's about anything on pit road, especially. I think NASCAR really needs to take a look at itself this off season and just figure things out on the rules front and driving conduct front and stuff like this. I mean, we saw it last weekend with Bubba where he got suspended for being aggressive with, just that entire situation. We didn't see Noah get suspended, in July at Road America. And I'm sure that we could probably go back and look in time, and we probably have had some kind of penalty for a pit road incident that was like this. Mm-hmm. If we look back far enough. So I definitely feel like there needs to be more guidelines, and more NASCAR should probably step in more than they do, rather than just letting them have at it. Because, I mean, today could have been not good. Yeah, we got really lucky on that front.
Yeah, we saw Truex's crew members jumping out of the way. They timed that perfectly. That there was the one crewman in particular who was, his foot hit the wall like right as Truex's car would have hit him had he been where he was standing. But Truex did end up rebounding to a sixth place finish, kind of carving his way through the field late there. And you look at some of the other guys in the running order up near the front. You had Ross Chastain, who did a lot for His case making the round of, or making the championship four on points, made up a lot of points there. AJ Allmendinger, a great run in that number 16, finished third, seemed like he was on his way to possibly run down Larson and either win or at least battle for it when he got by that little mess that had Hamlin and Chastain and a couple other cars in it. What do you expect from Allmendinger next year full time? Because we've seen him be dominant at road courses in this cup car and win at road courses in this cup car most recently with colleague at the Indy Road Course last year. But what are you expecting out of him and that team next year full time?
Well, today was definitely a statement because, you know, we've talked before about a road course winner winning a couple of road courses and then basically taking up a playoff spot because they end up getting eliminated early because, you know, they're no good anywhere except for road courses. AJ seems like he's going to be the opposite of that next year. Especially with the whole, you can at least, if you get to the Oval, at least you can get into the second to last round. I mean, he finished third today. I mean, that's pretty darn good, especially because, you know, I'm sure that all these other teams are bringing the A game right now.
Also, you look at a few of the other guys. John Hunter Nemechek was running well and then wrecked out. But then Brad Keselowski, Austin Dillon, some good finishes. So what does that mean for them for 2023?
Well, I mean, it's good to build on. I mean, Austin Dillon in the best-looking car in the field, by the way. Both Keselowski fifth. Though, I mean, that's going to go a really long way. It seems like Keselowski and RFK in general has really picked it up these last couple of months. Whatever they're trying, they need to just keep it going next year, and they should be able to... I think they get both cars in the playoffs next year, in all honesty, between Busch's win and Keselowski really starting to find his rhythm recently. With Austin, it's an interesting situation because, I mean, you know, you've got Kyle Busch coming in, and who knows how that team dynamic is going to change up. It's good tidings that he's running well finally, but Tyler Reddick's also ran those RCR cars pretty well. So... I mean, maybe this is a sign for next year for Austin. Maybe he's just getting the better equipment now that Reddick is basically a lame duck. The Nemechek thing, I mean, that was, I think that really speaks to just how good Bubba has been recently. Because John Hunter Nemechek, not that bad a driver, but he that team was definitely missing something this weekend, you know, even by starting fourth. And the other thing is, too, John Hunter Nemechek, he's not going to be at KBM next year, I don't believe. It's really like the joy is out on what's going to happen to him next. And he really did not need today going like it did if he wants to make an effort and, you know, show all these other team owners and Toyota that he could still be a cup driver in the future.
Yeah, exactly. It looked like John Hunter was having a pretty solid run up until that point. And of course, that contact with the wall set him back a bit, never fully recovered from that. And some other misfortune befalling a guy like Chase Briscoe during the race when he smacked the wall and that car ended up going to the garage. But that's a ton of storylines going into Martinsville next week. Short track, hopefully a better on-track product than we saw in the spring. And that's something we'll have to talk about coming up on the race preview, stock car scoop a little bit later in the week. But Michael Finley, thanks so much for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
Yep, and thanks for carrying me. And, you know, the funny thing is, while we were doing this, you know what that Childress team next year reminds me of?
What's that?
The Aston Martin team next year, because you've got Alonso coming in to team up with the owner's son, Lance Stroll.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's actually a really good parallel. I hadn't thought about that.
And, you know, it's a weird situation there, too, because it's like, what does this mean for the team makeup? Who knows? So both teams are going to be very interesting to follow next year.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll have Reddick, of course, going to 2311. We had those moves announced in the last couple of weeks. Reddick to 2311 next year after being bought out, and Kurt Busch retiring from full-time competition. Unfortunately, after that crash he had a few months ago, and he's been out from ever since. But yeah, again, Homestead, not as exciting as we thought for sure, but looking forward to hopefully a good short track race next week at Martinsville. You can check out all of our race coverage from Homestead on YouTube. at Front Stretch on Twitter, at Front Stretch, myself at Adam and Cheek as well. And you can give Finley a follow at Finley Factor. So we'll be with you guys a little bit later on this coming week to preview everything that's going down at Martinsville, the penultimate race of the 2022 season.